Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, guys, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard. And with me today on this week's episode of the podcast, first and foremost, I have my co-host, Megan Garvey, which is a writer for Everyone and Everywhere, Pitchfork, Fader. You DJ also.
I do it all. What's up, guys?
There you go. And my guest for this episode is Jeremiah. You just played us a little bit about a little bit from the new album. Still same title, Thumpy Johnson? Or
no, actually, it's changed up over the last year. You know, Thumpy Johnson is all in me. Don't get me wrong, but it's still me. I just definitely wanted to keep people still in tune with what I hopefully made them fall in love with me a little bit more. And that was my last mixtape, which I started to feel. And that was called Late Night. So I just wanted to give people just another dose of that, but just actually call this album now Late Night's the album.
Awesome. So you did mention that in the listening. It's a bit of a continuation of the mixtape.
Yeah. But times two.
Times two.
Yeah, hopefully. People.
So was it because such of a great reaction from fans when you put out the mixtape?
Because honestly, I never really know. Like, I never knew when I made Birthday Sex that people really... Like, I didn't think about, like, people really have sex. Like, or people, like, it's their birthday every day. I wasn't thinking that while writing that song. It was just more like, that's just what came. Just as with Don't Tell Them Right Now. So, I mean, while making Late Nights, it was just, I was just making songs, you know, and every night that I could. And I felt like that same energy this go around. Like, even for the last year when I'm like, all right, even while I was in Malibu recording for 2 months at the top of the year, some of the records and just bumping into other artists, like, it was the same vibe, the same feeling. So I just was like, man, it's another Late Night, you know what I'm saying, to me. So I would call it Late Nights like 2.0 or something like that, but Late Nights the album is just plain and simple.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You did put out music throughout. You just put out the mixtape no more like 2 weeks ago, I want to say.
Yeah, that was a collaboration mixtape more so with one of my homies, Slomo, who I had met like about a year and a half ago through this Adidas type of songs from scratch type
right.
of thing.
Right, yours truly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that actually opened my eyes up just even to another audience that, you know, I just felt like Slow-Mo, me and him collabing together. And when we did a record called Bo Peep, I believe, on that first one, and I actually went to one of his shows, and we actually did like three shows, 3 days in a row. And when I cut that song on, you would have thought it was like Down On Me or like Juicy J, so like a real turned up song, but it was Bo Peep, the slowest song that was on earth at the moment, and that people was turning up, and I was just like, man, I want to do some more records with fam, and so we did, and over the time, you know, it actually was supposed to drop in February, but something happened with the labels, and I guess they was trying to get all everything together, and you know, I'm a firm believer of things happening for a reason, and it just dropped a week and a half ago, so I'm glad everybody, you know, rocking with it and been riding to it.
Right. I know that the only guest on that collaboration is Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
And he's all the way at the very end, the last song. What made you just go with him, and what made you just stick with one person for that?
Honestly, I'm just, you know, how me and Slow-Mo work is organic. It's just we go in. All those songs were like merely freestyles from me just going in on beats that, you know, he had just shot me either, or we went in on that night. And that night in particular, actually, I had just landed. No, I was in L.A., and Chance had just landed in L.A. because he had got a crib. He was actually staying with Skrillex. And, you know, of course, Skrillex was familiar with Slow-Mo. And so was Chance. He was like, yo, I'm finna slide through. I just landed home. Where you at? And I'm just like, man, I'm in here with Slow-Mo. And he came in at the end of making the end, the song called The End. And he started, you know, we cut the beat in half at that time. And sure enough, he started just once again freestyling what he'd do on it as I did. And you got that collaboration and, you know, it made it. He actually hopped on another record called Planes, too, that I have. So, and that was going to be on the Slow Mo EP until now it's going to be on my album. So.
Right. You mentioned when you were playing the album that you have J. Cole on that song.
Yeah.
You switched it up.
I like both of their verses. It was like one of those, it was just one of those situations where Chance, you know, I just know he killed the verse. It wasn't like there was a bad word for J. Cole. I just wanted to make a more of a move. It was a more political move for me because Chance, you know, nothing against
independent. Right.
But it's just more than that. And I love his verse, and he's going to be on a version as well.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Even if it's like on a deluxe or something. So.
Right. Look at you. Think about deluxe versions already.
Yeah, you got to. Well, not a deluxe version, but actually like on a deluxe version of Late Nights, the album.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can interrupt me whenever you want because you guys are like kindred spirits since you're both from Chicago.
Of course. So. Yeah. So, with Chance, do you feel like a certain connection because he's from Chicago?
Most definitely. You know, I didn't even know much about him until I was getting my hair cut, and my barber actually cut his hair too. And he was like, "Yo, you gotta do this song with Chance. He brought the pop." And I'm just like, "Yeah," and I was like, "Play something." And so, you know, I'm all ears at all times. But then I actually bumped into Benny Blanco, a producer as well. He was like, "Yo, you gotta do a song with Chance." And I'm like, "Let me listen to some more of this man's music." And sure enough, I heard Chicago with him. I heard a couple like just different flavors in him. And he definitely is super talented dude. And a hell of a performer, because I actually got an opportunity to see him perform, and I really got it then. But he's from the crib, and I believe, you know, Chicago, we really got it. We always had it, and I'm glad that now we're getting more light on our city, just even if it's just because of the lifestyle. It doesn't matter. It's just, I'm glad that Chicago's finally getting, like, more recognition.
Music,
even though we got the best music.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, always, but, like, 2012 on, it feel like, finally, people, like, paid attention outside of the city.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I mean, I guess, like, Keith and all that. But
I would definitely say, like, it was a lifestyle. People, you know, the world is turned up right now. And, you know, I'm even watching, like, Bobby Shmurda out here in New York. And just how the lifestyle just, you know,
trickles over.
It looks very familiar to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I think people have brought that up also.
Yeah.
That's a little reminiscent of that.
Yeah.
What else are you brought up Bobby Shmurda. What else are you kind of paying attention to or listening to?
I'm listening to a lot of Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah.
K Camp more recently.
He's everywhere. Yes.
Johnny Cinco, he's from Atlanta. I don't know if you all are familiar with him. But even working with Slow Mo, I started paying attention to more like electronic, just sound music in a trap kind of dubstep. And just even people remixing my songs made me pay attention to it more. And I started realizing, like, yo, I can have a lot of fun this next year actually just experimenting with different sounds and with my vocals that I've began to really notice what I can do now with my voice. That's like 3-4 years ago, and I was just doing what I knew then. But now, like, I feel like when I step in front of a mic, like, I don't know what I'm going to do sometimes. It just happens, so I just do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You mentioned Ty Dolla $ign. I feel like Ty, YG, and DJ Mustard are like the go-to for the hit. And, you know, you have Mustard and YG on your single, and then you also have another song on the album that is produced by DJ Mustard, and it is very different than what we're used to hearing Mustard do. So tell me a little bit how that one kind of came to be, the second Mustard beat on your album.
Mustard sends packs of beats, you know what I'm saying? And I want to say, man, I really got this beat. Somebody gonna be mad because I actually got that beat from another artist.
You stole
they
it?
Sent me to put a hook on.
Oh, you stole a song.
No, it wasn't
it. You're like, I'm just gonna use this one right here.
The artist did send me that beat. I don't say his name. But he sent me that beat, and I have put a hook on it that night, and I was just like, the next day I woke up, like, man, this stuff is cold. You know what I'm saying? So I kept it right now. Now that person still know, and he hasn't come out with the song either. So
it's not stealing. You're right. It's not stealing. Yeah. But yeah, it's different. I know there's conversations with Mustard kind of, I wonder if sometimes artists go up to him and be like, I want this beat, that same beat that you made. And probably that's why he keeps doing some stuff. But this one shows that he clearly could do a lot more than.
Yeah, Mustard's dope. People just, you know, the ones that are going are just the ones that the world is just on, and they, you know, are just no brainers right now. But you definitely sent me that track, and it's definitely different. I'm looking forward to seeing what people think about it. It's heavy bass driven, 808 driven. It's real dreamy, like, you know, and I just, it's one of the highlights I definitely say off the album. So, yeah, he has more in the clip. When I seen him working one time, see, I worked with him just on, I always want to know, how does he really make these beats? Because I'm like, anybody, it sounds like I can make it too. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I actually had to sit and watch him.
But you produce a little bit yourself, right? Because you, which one was on Late Nights? Was it Late Nights itself?
I produce Late Nights, yeah. And then one of the last records on there called Letter to the Fans.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, I started off as a producer. Actually, I'm a musician before it all, so. Even how I come at records, like, is how I would probably play the, like, percussion. Like, my cadence would be probably very percussive because that's where I come from.
For sure.
That's where that's where it started and originated. So, like, my approach to songs are going to be completely different, you know, every time because of that now. So, I definitely think it helped just diversify what I could do and help me realize what I could do with my voice as well.
Yeah.
Even playing the keys.
I remember this one. My, like, favorite thing is the Birthday Sex piano version that was, like, raw sessions back in the day. You're, like, playing piano on it. I was like, oh, my God. Suddenly the song is, like, so new to me with, like, just a cappella on the piano. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, I remember that. That was crazy.
My coworker, Jason Lipschitz, he's the pop editor, just emailed me and said, tell him Birthday Sex changed my life. I don't really want to know exactly how it changed his life.
It changed my life, too.
But did you realize how huge that was going to be when you were recording that?
No clue. I never really know because I put the same 110% in, like, every song. If I actually finished the song, like, it meant it needed to be finished because I felt strong about finishing it, and, you know, it felt like a record. But no, I had no clue about Birthday Sex. I had no clue about Down on Me, like, and I had no clue about Don't Tell Him once again now. So it was just like, while creating even Don't Tell Him, I just know I was feeling a way because I was part of the Show Me record with Kid Ink and Chris Brown as far as on the writing side. And I was actually on that song before Chris.
Oh.
And nobody really knows this stuff because they get that far. But the day I wrote Don't Tell Him was the day Show Me went number one. And it was just kind of like, man. Like, I can't believe this song that, you know, that I helped, you know, it just went. And what that I was on kind of went number one. So I actually just like, man, let me just see if I could just make my own. You know, with the same kind of feel, you know, in a sense of just something that I know would turn up the clubs, and I know it'd just be a little bit like something that the fellas could want to feel like me and something that the ladies would want to be with me, you know, as far as even dancing-wise with this record. So I had fun, actually, and that was like the motivation towards that song, and it's just crazy to just see it now blowing up and even stepping out last night, and somehow, some way Rihanna popped up in the club next to me in my booth, and I'm just seeing her, like, when it went up. When it went on, like, the club went up, and it's just one of those feelings again. I was like, man, this looked like Down on Me again. You know what I'm saying? So, one of those feelings.
It's cool, too, because, like, a lot of R&B that, like, blows up these days is super, like, fist-pumpy, you know what I mean? Like, almost closer to, like...
R&B?
Yeah, true. You know, there's all the, like, super clubbed out, like, EDM, almost R&B, but yours is, like, not really... Like, you don't really have to do that to, like, get a hit. Like, you could still have, like, a bedroom song and not just, like, something that has to be, like, a crossover to, like, dance music or whatever, and which is cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, any song could be, like I just said, when I did that song with Shlomo and Bo Peep, and I performed it, and I'm like, dang, these people are jumping up and down for this slow ballad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it was just, like, one of those feelings where I was like, okay, man, I feel like I'm on to something, you know? But let me just stick with it and just don't stop. So every time I get, there's no free night, I'd rather probably just be in front of a mic right now, whether it's for me or for somebody else. So, yeah.
That reminds me of when we were listening to the album, you say you have you called it a hood ballad.
I said if it was a hood ballad of the year award,
this is what it would be.
This would be the winner.
And
unanimously.
I feel like not only is that one great, but you have different, they all sound different. Like all your songs sound different, but they all still sound like they belong in one package. So how was it kind of sequencing them and like putting them together?
Well, that's always kind of the hard and easy part because it's like I felt when it comes to like Paradise, that was the name of that record. I knew for sure that I had to go towards the end of the album. Like, you know, it was just one of those, Everybody, we both, me and my lady, we both knocked out. We just still sleeping as the whole album went through. You know what I'm saying? And as far as sequencing the album, I just go with the feeling. Like, I like to turn up first and then probably take it to the, you know what I'm saying? You turn up first, then you go medium, then you go to give them the hood ballad at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you're going to hear.
Yeah. I mean, there was, what, like 4 or 5 songs? Mm-hmm. And they were all, like, each very, very different.
Yeah, I didn't, like, with my first two albums, it was different, man. It was a whole different situation. I mean, I was still getting to know people. I was still, like, I didn't know that many other artists still. I didn't know 50 like I know him or Puff right now, like, you know, I could call. And I just felt like, while at that time, it was just a different space. I was.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
A relationship, you know what I'm saying? I was... like editing what I'd say and do a lot, you know, mm-hmm. because of that. And I've been single now for like a year and a half, and you're it's like, been like the best time of my life. So
you're not censoring anything.
No, it's like, no, I don't care. No, I really didn't care then, but right. I really don't care now. And it's like, even when it comes to recording now, and things I wouldn't have said or whatever, interviews, like, you know, it's just, it is what it is right now. And I can say, definitely, I probably had the most fun making this latest body of work. And I mean, I had fun making Late Nights, but this latest probably been the most fun. Just even working with other artists and just even in there with Mustard and in there with Ty, actually physically working with these people as to just sending records now. It's just a different, like, I'm a student still. So it's like, I'm looking at how people are recording right now and I'll take notes and different things, you know. So it's, everything's different right now for me.
Would you say Late Nights was sort of like the turning point then into like getting into
definitely
this
Late Nights was the, actually the reaction to the action of me being a single man at that time, like a recent single man. And I definitely felt like even not just for myself, I started to notice how other R&B artists weren't scared to take risks anymore. Like I'm a student, like I say, so I listen to my competition. What influences me is like my competition, honestly, and my fans, like mm-hmm. as far as even for inspiration. And so I listen to other artists. I even hear a lot of people now kind of sounding like me, you know what I'm saying? And this could be a me thing, and it's okay. But I just really mm-hmm. I noticed when I dropped Late Nights, it was more like a nobody should care no more about what how you should classify R&B, you know, because there is no classification anymore. Like I really see rappers singing more now and singers rapping more now. So it's like, I mean, whether if it's me on the hook for your rapper or it's just still it's hip-hop and R&B. So I think when I dropped Late Nights, definitely that it just opened up a lot of doors for me to not be as relationship sounding as I did on the first two albums, you know, not giving people the best of me. And I think with this Late Nights album, definitely getting the best of me.
Sure. I have another question about Late Nights Thanksgiving. Okay, 773-779 love. This
yeah,
is
I
a
did
real
too.
Phone number. Guys, I called it.
I did too. I actually tried to buy it, and that lady would not sell me that number. Yeah.
Really? I don't understand why. Okay, actually, I called it multiple times, and every single time it's like this voicemail box is full, and I'm yeah. like, this poor person. Why don't you just sell it and like not deal with
it? It was actually a landline for a house, so I'm like, man, I really got this campaign going, lady. Like, I'll give you whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just really want to use this number and really utilize it because I haven't even shot a video. I only shot 2 videos for, I only shot 5 videos, period, in my whole career. But as far as on like Late Nights,
uh-huh.
I really didn't shoot much on that. That was one of them I definitely wanted to really kind of like let people feel and yeah. hear. But luckily, 773 Love will be on like the deluxe version of Late Nights, the album. So two records actually made it from Late Nights to Mixtape,
okay, cool.
Which was 773 Love and Rated R.
So that lady's going to keep continuing to get phone calls.
Yeah, and, she probably will.
Until she gives you that number. There's a bit of, there's some samples on the album. Was there like a shy, was there like a little shy moment in there?
Ooh,
that I kind of lit up with that. So what other little stuff do you have in there that you can mention? There's shy, there's.
On the album?
On the album.
I really like tried to stay away from the sample thing, but as far as interpolations, like, I mean, that kind of would come easy for me. But you heard the shy even on Don't Tell Him, the rhythm is a dancer from the old group. What was that group name? Man, what was that group name? You know what I'm talking about? Rhythm is a dancer.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Listen, we're just going to keep that in there.
Why don't I know this? Anywho, but yeah, but you have a couple like interpolations on there, I would say, but mostly original records on this album, though. Yeah. So, as far as I know now, you know, I know when I turned in my second album, they were finding stuff that I was like, no, definitely, I didn't get that from that, but they still wanted to just be safe about it. Right. But as far as my concern right now on my album, so you got that one and then an interpolation of the Rhythm is a Dancer song, which is. Snap. I knew it was something like just
snap.
Yeah, it was snap.
I didn't even know.
But so you're putting out a mixtape before the album.
Yeah,
tell me about the mixtape.
Man, I don't even remember what I was thinking that night that we came up with it. I think I wasn't quite on earth like that, but we just had a lot of records we was trying to put on the album, and I didn't want to make it too much like drain people's ears. I just wanted to keep it real short and sweet, but just a gold, you know what I'm saying? And there were records that I was like, man, these are strong records too, but you know, whether if it was a feature from an artist or whether if it was another interpolation as far as sample wise, I was like, man, we might as well just not go through all that BS with the album and just give it to the people and give the people something else after dropping. We dropped the Slow Mo project a week and a half ago, so I was like, man, people got at least what I would do on a Slow Mo type of vibe, but let me get people what I do right now, like as a appetizer to Late Nights, the album. And we decided to call it Not On My Album, which is that for the acronym is NOMA. So, it's going to be 7 records on there. 7 is my number. So I just wanted to give, you know, I had a couple to choose from, but I got a solid 7 bangers. There will be features on there. Their songs, there will be, I love them as much as I do the records that are on my album. But I just felt like these were the ones, like, I wanted to give the people something right now. And that's going to be the something. On August 4th, we're going to drop it.
That's right around the corner. It's like next week.
That's like
week.
3 days. Yeah. Like, I got 3 days. I got to still finish.
See, I was going to ask you,
but
so you're
not. But you know, I like pressure. Like, I work the best under pressure. For some reason, I'm the type that when I was in high school, I used to just study the night before the test because it just that's how my brain
works.
Because I'm be like, damn, I remember this from last night.
So it worked.
Why am I studying all week for this? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just how it is for me. But even with that being said, like with like All the Time, the Fuck You All the Time record I had on my Late Nights mixtape, I did that the night before I dropped Late Nights the mixtape, and that happened to be why I wasn't no verse on the second verse because I didn't have only wrote one verse. You know what I'm saying? So it was just kind of like, I feel like it's like a gift and a curse, but it's bound to happen again on this one. So I'm looking forward to that song to come out, whatever that is.
You're going to procrastinate on the album also? You're going to do some last minute songs?
Well, whenever they tell me the deadline is, I will be in there the night before
the
that
before.
And just try to see what I could do again. We got to put like a Boulet mix on it and everything.
So who else is going to be on the album again other than J. Cole?
We got J. Cole. I did a record with Trey and Fab, that's on there. Man, it was so crazy. I actually sent Trey that record the day I recorded it because I felt real strong about it. And I never send people records like the day I record something. But I guess I'm with Trey and Fab. Juicy J's on there. Ty Dolla Sign's going to be on there. And even Flo Rida. Flo Rida is on there as well. It's
I
random.
Love that you say even Flo Rida. Is it because people don't expect
don't think
him to
people
be?
People want
to
look for it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems random. And
who
random.
Produces the Flo Rida song?
Mick Schultz, my homie Mick Schultz. He who also produced Birthday Sex. He also produced Down on Me and a co-produced Don't Tell Him. So That's my, you know, my homie. That's we've been recording. He actually produced completely my first two albums. So now, I mean, it was just one of those. We made that song, and I think I know it's like one of those bangers, especially for my overseas fans. But I specifically was like, I strategically did things this way, this album, just to make sure that I just wanted to hit people like with the hardest hit, you know. And definitely, that's one of those that I think is gonna make a lot of bread, probably the most money out of all the album, the songs on the album. So it was definitely one of my favorites.
That's like your secret weapon,
yeah,
Florida.
Yeah, it's like a little, you know, overseas. Oh, how you get? We got back to the States. It was just kind of one of them records that I think has that power.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you also listen to your competition. Who do you consider your competition?
Anybody that's in my way. But to elaborate on that, I look at the R&B. I mean, anybody that's in R&B affiliated. I mean, as much as I look at Chris, he's competition. Even though he's like, to me, our generation is Michael Jackson. But for him to be singing, you know, records that I wrote, I'd be like, that's the dude I want to sing my songs. You know what I'm saying? But even though I know he's competition, Trey's competition, Ty's competition, August, even musically, but I don't know, musically, but the other, he is competition, you know, but it just is what it is. I'm just a student, man. I just pay attention to what everybody's doing. And for some reason, it seems like they're doing the same with me by singing the records that I wrote. And I just feel good. I feel like I'm in a better seat right now to not even really kind of care about the competition, but I do like listen. I don't really care though, but I listen to what they're doing.
You
but
kinda
I
just definitely, pay
as long
attention.
As I like just do what I want to do, I think. I'll continue to be where I need to be.
Right.
Who would you consider my competition?
R&B is just so different that you can't, like, you mentioned your competition, but you also have the artists that just put out albums that are also R&B. You have, like, Party Next Door.
He's dope. The Weeknd.
There's just, it's like, such a, you know, huge sphere now.
Did he just drop something?
Party Next Door, last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Randomly. I knew I knew him, but I heard a record that him and Drake had just dropped. That was dope. So I know a couple recognized. Chicks that like love his music too.
Yeah.
And The Weeknd and Miguel. You know what I'm saying? Definitely are artists that are credible to me and I listen to and I'm fans of, but they're competition.
Yeah. I think that's what's crazy is that, you know, Chris, you, people have been around a little longer than these other artists, but there's still competition. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to ask you, like, who you consider.
I mean, but that's what makes it fun to me, though. That's like, you know.
It's also because there's
so
much.
The Spurs play my, you know, not that they're not competition, but it's just like.
But we also don't want the same thing also. So that's why it's good to have a range of artists, even within one genre.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think R&B's at a good state. I think music just had a good state right now where people just stop caring right now and just let it all out. You know what I'm saying? Even lifestyle, just let it out. Things used to be so restricted. Social media was never how it is now where you didn't really know people like that back then. You didn't really know Hov and, you know, they didn't really go out to the club like that until recently because now Rihanna's in the club flicking up with all the fans. It's like, you gotta adjust. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how the game is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to get better and worse.
Is that how you adjust, is by kind of keeping an ear out for everything?
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know everything, so it's just kind of one of those, you got to just do something different, keep hitting people a different way. I believe Beyonce started something that's going to be very effective for the next couple of years, which is putting out audio with visuals. And it's almost going to be a standard, really. Like, I see this coming, like, in the next year and a half, 2 years, if not before then, where now Rihanna's going to do that. And now, you know, it's going to be the biggest of the stars. Like, you got to do that now because you got to let people see it because everybody can make a song and put out a song every day now. But once you let them see it, it's different. You give them all 5 P's.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you want to do that?
I wish I had enough time now to put that out.
Well, maybe if you didn't wait till the last minute.
Yeah, man,
and
you're right. I can put up like 11 videos in 2 days. Let's do it.
But I still don't know how she did that because no one knew, no one said.
But
I mean,
that was the
within
genius
camp,
part about it. That was the innovative. Like, she was the renaissance. Yeah. I see that. Like, and that's not, it's not like no one's ever not thought about
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
But it's just like, she did it. Who did it? She did it first. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You guys got many questions?
I have one more question. Has anyone ever gotten mad at you because they're like, it was my birthday, I wanted my man to buy me so and so and so, and instead he was just like, well, we can have sex, well, happy birthday.
But do they blame you for that?
They definitely blame me for that.
They ask you and everything, they're like.
Yeah, especially around that time, though. But it was cool, though, because it was like, you know, the fellas, we got by, you know, just the ladies that was... Y'all loved us that day, but when y'all woke up, didn't have nothing, maybe.
Aww. Do you still get added and asked about that song and, like, blamed for not getting any on their birthday? Or for only doing...
Crazily, yeah, man. That's one of those records where I probably, until I just get, like, Alzheimer's and forget the words, like, I'm probably going to sing that song for the rest of my life. For some reason, I just feel that way. But it's definitely one of those songs that did change my life. And, like I said, I didn't know what it was. But people definitely, that's been the alternative gift for the last 4.5, 5 years. And once again, made it okay for other people to make a birthday song after I did birthday sex. So
there is a lot of birthday songs after that, yes. I appreciate you guys both coming in and talking to me about your album and all the good stuff.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to everybody hearing it.
All right. There you go. You got a deadline. Well, thank you guys so much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.